Let us pray. Lord Jesus, today we heard your beautiful prayer, giving rise to your oneness with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing us the image of God so we might experience your loving presence in our daily lives every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make sure I don't spill this. You need to hear this. Water of life. Water of life, something that every creature, every plant, every human needs to survive. Now, I can think back maybe about 10 days ago, my lawn and my garden, beautiful plants, but they were struggling. It had not rained for a while. There was no water of life there unless I physically somehow irrigated or put some water into those areas, and that can get expensive. Well, then the rains came. And the water of life replenished the ground, and you could just see the grass almost jump for joy. And the vegetables say, yes, real water, not chlorine-based water. Well, the water of life is so very important. Now, I don't know what the condition is around here, but on the way into the church, I saw some corn fields, and it sure looked healthy. So I'm hoping that you've had rain. I don't know if you got rain with this last front that moved through, but it looks like the grass is healthy. But remember, July and August and September, maybe October are coming. And so plants and grass will struggle again unless the water of life is presented and given to them, replenishing the ground. Central to the human story, to our story, is the love that God has given that flows like water down a hill, flows into the lives of people, into our life. And it's always present. It's always there. And we heard about that love in the reading from the book of Acts for today, when Paul and Silas were being faithful to their call. They had been given some waters of life, and they were out ministering to people in this town when this young lady bothered Paul. And so Paul finally, after days, said, that's enough. Come out of her. He didn't speak to the girl. He spoke to the evil, to that bad thing that she had, and it came out. It could not do anything but come out because it was in the presence of the love of Jesus that was flowing through Paul into the life of this individual. Now, that didn't make the owners very happy about this, their slave girl, their moneymaker. They lost all that. And so they did the next best thing. They grabbed Paul and Silas and hauled them to the court area where they meet in the town square and deal with issues, and made up these charges, and then the people bought into it. And so they had them beaten and then thrown in jail. And the message was, make sure they're locked up. And so the jailer did his best job of taking them down, not just to the first cell, but into the wherever the basement was or in the dark area of the prison. and then put them in chains or in stock. So they weren't going anywhere until the love of Jesus entered the picture with an earthquake. And the earthquake opened all the doors, dropped all the chains, and they were free. But before that happened, what was going on was the love of Jesus was flowing through the entire jail. We're not told how many are in there. Maybe it's one or two, but maybe it's more. Unimportant. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and they heard that. Then the earthquake, God intervened. I wonder if God had a purpose in mind, such as he was concerned about the jailer. He loved the jailer, and he wanted to help the jailer and his whole family, and maybe all the other prisoners. Again, that part we don't know. But nevertheless, the love of Jesus that came to the jailer was real. He didn't understand it. He was ready to kill himself because that's what was going to happen if all the prisoners escaped. So he just thought he'd speed it up. When Paul intervened and said, "No, don't do that. We're all here." Can you imagine the other prisoners just sitting there or standing there? But that's what God's love does for people, no matter what's going on. This whole concept of faith and development of that faith continues throughout the scripture. Not only in this story with Paul and Silas and the jailer, who, by the way, when the jailer realized what had happened, what did he do? He got some water and he bathed. He took care of the wounds as best as he could, cleansing them. Water of life for Paul and Silas. And what happened with Jesus? He took that water of life and he had this jailer and his entire household baptized, washed in the water of life. What a magnificent gift and a magnificent love that was so important to this whole story and to this family in particular. If we could have only followed the jailer and his family thereafter, I have a suspicion that he took what he received and his family and he made sure he told somebody else. Now, maybe he had to change professions, but I bet he shared what happened to him personally when he experienced and felt the love of what God was offering at that time. And that story of faith development continues in Revelation in the chapter that we heard. Jesus is the beginning and he is the end, and he comes for his church. He comes for you. You as an individual, regardless of what you have done, regardless of where you are in life, he has come for you. And he loves you. And he waits. And he invites. And he says, "Come. Come. Those who are thirsty, come. I have the water of life." Or another text, the living water. The kind of water that will make a difference for all eternity, not just in that very moment. Now, when you picked up a bulletin, you should have received something that looks like this. You would take that out. I've been talking about the love that God has for people, but it starts in this text that we heard from, that was read, the text that Jesus has this conversation. It's called, in biblical terms, the high priestly prayer. He has this prayer and conversation with the Father. So if you start on the upper left part of this chart, where it says Father, the Father loves the Son, Jesus. Jesus loves the Holy Spirit. We have a united unity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it doesn't stop there. You go down to the second row on the right, below the Holy Spirit, we take the Holy Spirit who loves the Son, who loves the Father. And so it's a continuum. There is no unequal part of love. It's all equal for the three, the Trinity. Oh, wait a minute. Something's missing. Do you know what's missing? People. Excellent. You. So, if there's a pencil or pen in the pew, do you have those? Now, then you'll have to do this maybe at home, or take it out of your pocket or your purse and put you in that picture at the bottom with arrows from all three, from the Father, from the Son, from the Holy Spirit, pointing down at you. And don't be afraid to put the arrows back up if you love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful part of this continuum that Jesus prayed and that he wanted to share and to let us know. We call that experience of this continuum sacred. It is sacred because it comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's God. Very active and very much part of our life. And that sacredness builds community and communion with the Trinity and with us. And so we being human think, well, yeah, God is up here and I'm down here. Well, for this story, for this part here, it is all together. Right here, right in this presence, we have the loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who identifies himself as the Holy Spirit, the very presence of Jesus. And in the presence of Jesus is the Father. So the Holy Spirit presents all of this to us. Hear the words again of Jesus' connection of putting all this together from the Gospel of John. The glory that you, Father, have given me, I have given to them. To them, to us. So that they may be one as we are one. Would you like that? To be one with God? What a gift. What a beautiful gift. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And so we can just kind of sit and celebrate and say, oh, wow, God and me. Oh. No, there's something else you might want to add to that drawing underneath you or to off to the side. We've received this sacredness, this communion with God. Why? To do what Paul and Silas did. To give it away. To let somebody else know. How are we doing at doing that? Are we sharing the love that we have experienced and that we hear from these texts? That's what our calling is. Christ has said to us, come. And then he looks through us and looks at the people beyond us, in our family, in our community, at Walmart, or wherever it might be. He's looking at them and he wants to invite them and say, come. But that doesn't happen if we don't say or do an act of kindness or of love and touch the life of an individual in a way that only you can do. Because your love is yours, but it has been blessed and enriched by the love of Christ, and that's why we're able to do that. And I have to tell you, I'm not proud of this, but I remember when we lived in Florida, and I was teaching at that time, the pastor had asked me to come and help him with visitations and things like that. So I left the classroom, and there was one individual who came to me and was in tears because of his personal story and the story that he was telling me about his wife and the health issues that were going on. And so I listened. And we had a prayer and we parted ways. And about 2 weeks, I think, later, don't tell my wife Dee this, but about 2 weeks later, I stopped at a donut shop. I don't like donuts. And this way, in South Florida, it's not Dunkin', it's the Canadian one. I can't remember its name. But anyway, I went there and there were long lines and it was a big place and I was way over here and through the crowd, and to this day I know the Holy Spirit made me see him. He's standing over there talking or just being, he didn't see me, I don't think. And you know what I did? Just the opposite of what I just told everyone to do. I should have gone over and said, well, how are things going? I quickly paid for my donut, coffee, and scooted out, never saying a word to him. I never saw him again. I'm not proud of that. That's not being a witness. That's not being a messenger. So I had failed there. But I also know by faith that what Jesus says is, all right, you made a mistake. Repent of that and go on. And so there have been other opportunities. And that's true for any one of us. When we make those mistakes or we forget to be the witness that Jesus has called us to be, he will forgive. And so there are, on this final day of Easter Sundays, three themes, I think, that we have here. The first one is belief. Belief. Jesus prays for all those who have believed in him and for those who will believe in him in the future. Remember, this happened in Jesus' time. He's praying this prayer. But he's praying it not only for the people around his time, but he knows all the people that came after that, right to where you are. He knew you. And he was praying that prayer for you already, way before it's happened. Second theme is oneness. Oneness, where Jesus prays for nothing less than being one with all believers. Now, in a church setting, there can be struggles. There can be conflicts. I know not here, but but there are some churches where that could happen. The oneness of Jesus is what counts and what he seeks for all believers to be one. And then third, love. Love, in fact, five times in just six verses in this prayer that Jesus had, Jesus names love as the core of a divine relationship. As I said, from your chart, not just among the divine, but including all of us. Love is the ingredient. And the love Jesus is praying for is a cross-shaped kind of love. This prayer was prayed just before he was arrested and paid a dear price. His love is a cross-shaped love. And unfortunately, that's the same kind of love that comes to us. There can be a cross-shaped kind of love in our life. But the beauty is, we are not alone. When those tough times happen in our life, whether it be health or family or what job or whatever it might be, we are never alone. Depend on the presence and the love and believe that Jesus is part of that. The resurrected Savior, cross-shaped, becoming the resurrection shape. Let the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit flow into all of us and through us, because that love is the living water. Amen.